I'm Carrie Doan, and welcome to Clearly Connected. You're listening to episode 38. I'm a life coach, business consultant, speaker, and a big-hearted entrepreneur. I live in the colorful city of Cincinnati, Ohio with my family, and through my work, I've helped hundreds of conscious people overcome stress and anxiety so that they can find their way to a clear and confident way of relating with their finances. You're enjoying this podcast ad-free because of the generous support of subscribers to Clearly Connected on Spotify. You can learn more at carriedoan.com, where we'll continue the conversation we start here for anyone who wants to move beyond what keeps them stuck. If you struggle with feelings of insecurity, or if you just need a few minutes away from the constant stream of information, well, you're in the right place for finding that safe space of connection. Today's question, how do you follow your own curiosity and tap into wealth in a world that tells you to listen to all the noise around you? Listen in. Welcome back, everyone. I am so excited today for this episode because I have the pleasure of interviewing my guest, Shanae Jackson, about something that I love, which is the topic of curiosity, and specifically curiosity as this driving force behind human development and change. And so in this conversation, we're going to discuss how tapping into this positional mindset to business and life can not only support your success, but also your overall sense of happiness. So before we get into it, let me share a little bit about my guest, Shanae. Shanae is a skilled multi-business entrepreneur and consultant who excels in optimizing business operational systems. She has this impressive client portfolio that includes Viacom, Netflix, and national and international nonprofits. And Shanae's expertise lies in creating time and empowering small business owners and executives to operate in their areas of expertise while minimizing time spent outside of their zone of genius. So Shanae, thank you so much for being here today. I am really thrilled to have you in the space and to get into this conversation.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. And so I was thinking about when you and I connected originally and we were sharing about, you know, I'd asked you, what are the things that you are passionate about discussing? And you said curiosity. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is something that lights me up, too. And so I'm really excited to kind of unpack this together because I feel like we could have a pretty dynamic conversation. So before we get into more of the meat of the conversation, I'd love it if you wouldn't mind to share a little bit about your story as it relates to this topic. And maybe if you're open to it, sharing some of the factors that have contributed to you being a curious person.
Yeah, thank you for asking that question. So I am a reformed corporate burnout person, like a lot of people who jump into entrepreneurship are. And back in, you know, I live in the Atlanta, Georgia area currently. And back when I moved here in 2019, it was just a handful of months before the pandemic. So I like to say right before the world ended. Mm-hmm. And I have had a company with a business partner for a couple of years prior to my arrival. So it wasn't about, you know, figuring out what I wanted to do. It was in whatever like that. It was actually more along the lines of how do I fit into the day-to-day operations of a business that has largely I've run from at least two states away. And so as I'm, you know, sort of figuring out what do I want to do and how do I want to do it, grow the business and what, I ended up doing exactly that. I wandered around being like, and what was sort of the question, what else could be appropriate for my skill set? I have a master's in public health. I've worked in the education fields. I've worked in bench science research. I've kind of been in a lot of different fields that really lit me up, and I'm glad for my background. But then what? And while I love my business, I knew that it wasn't going to be enough. And Not because, you know, you always have to jump from one thing to another, but more along the lines of, I know that I'm a curious person. I want my day to be consistently different, and I want to feel like I need to stay on my toes and that I need to be ready to change directions and pivot as necessary. So it's been really important for me. So as I've kind of wandered down the path of expanding the business with my business partner, I apologize, and phones happen too. So what's happened since then? Let me let this go. This is what happens when you record in your regular brick and mortar office versus silent office instead.
Yes, we're going to do the unedited version, which is A-okay. Real life.
This is real life. Brick and mortars, you know, sometimes the bell rings and the telephone dings. So what I ended up doing was my business partner and I, we tripled the size of the business in about 3 months. And I highly recommend that everybody triple the size of your business. However, tripling the size of your business when you haven't gotten processes and systems in place is awful. And essentially, I went into a huge burnout mode. So essentially, I didn't want to work anymore. I didn't want to think anymore. And as someone who is a chronic overthinker who likes to know everything, this means that I was basically acting completely out of my nature. And so when I finally restarted to recover, which did take about a year and a half, my recovery period was, what would it look like if I made some changes? What would those changes look like? How would I feel if I made changes? How do I make sure that I don't burn out again? So essentially, I asked myself a series of questions, and those series of questions built on themselves as I made just a slightly bigger progress towards the next thing, right? I needed to feel better. I needed to feel like Shanae again. Yeah. So curiosity for me is really around ask yourself good questions, not the easy questions.
I love that, because what I heard you say is you started with that first question of like, what else is there? And you came to this awareness of whatever you were doing previously wasn't going to be enough. And I put a peg in that because I wanted to ask you on that specific thing, you know, do you recall what were the markers or what were the indicators that told you it wasn't going to be enough before you made that pivot to business?
So I am a Black woman and have had a corporate career for around 10-ish years. And, you know, I got really frustrated that I was constantly had to work harder for people who didn't, and then show up against people who didn't have to work as hard as I did to get the same thing. And I was really frustrated along those lines. Also, I'm a millennial, so if that gives you any aversion, at least, of what my age is. I also was super clear that at least every 2 to 5 years, I would need to switch jobs. And that was also very, very frustrating, because I want to be like older generations and be able to stay at an organization for 20 years and retire. You know, my grandfather, they both had those kind of instances where they were there forever and they were able to rise up the ranks. So it wasn't just they had a job for 20 or 30 years. It was they moved up the ladder, their pay was accordingly. But as a millennial, that's not my testimony. And I knew that basically going straight into the system. And I knew that that was going to get old real fast. very, very fast. How do you feel changing jobs every 2 to 5 years? And what I actually, as a part of my, if you ever look at my LinkedIn, if you ever look at my resume, I've never worked a corporate job longer than 3 years. I think my longest right now is 2 years and 8 months. However, I've been a business owner for almost six. So like, there's something to be said about being able to chart my own journey, but also like taking all of my favorite things from my past lives. And I think I'm on past life, or I think I'm on life number four right now. And that feels really good. And so I don't really know if there's like an exact time, but it was just kind of that overwhelming, just tiredness of something that had not come to pass yet, of being like, I'm going to have to continue to apply. I'm going to have to keep going through this, these huge hoops. And then there's going to come a point where I'm going to get frustrated because being black in the workplace, being woman in the workplace, regardless of your industry, and my background is actually in a fairly women dominated industry, it's always going to be something else. And that was what kind of kicked me out.
Well, it's really inspiring because I think it sounds like you came to this point where you recognized the cost it was going to be to you to stay where you were, and also knowing yourself well enough to understand, like, well, how do I tick and where would I best be perform or even be happy? So I just commend you for making that shift. And I mean, that this is a large part of the work that I do with people is exploring those questions, you know, allowing yourself to ask, what else is there? What is enough for me? And giving yourself permission to go after whatever that is, which requires a lot of courage and perseverance. So it sounds like you went through that process, and now you're like you said, now in this business for over 6 years or so, and it's fitting you in a really good way. So, but it all started with those questions, right? And that curiosity. So.
I knew that I had to move away. And I to be honest, my background has never been entrepreneurship or business owner. I was told to go to school, get good grades, and get a good job. I did that. I did that a lot, actually. And so then what? ended up being my question. So yeah, I had to do something different. And I just so happened to have found a couple of different avenues that felt good.
That's great. I love kind of like the story or the journey you've been on. And this conversation's so fun for me because I genuinely believe that if you lean into those questions, like first of all, ask them, but then you really lean into them and you just kind of enter into them, I think, a more interesting and exciting version of life than if you're just kind of checking off the boxes of what you're told to do. Like you said, you know, get that good job, do all the right things. So many people find that they're not really happy after they do all of that. So if you open yourself up to asking bigger questions, it kind of also opens you up to having a bigger life. And not necessarily everybody wants that, I suppose, but I happen to think it's really a lot more fun that way.
I think that there's multiple ways for work like that to happen. Perhaps if I might have found a hobby that I was able to invest myself in, even more so. In this particular case, I chose business ownership, but I don't think that that's the only way to go about this. It just, again, I had some, factors that, lended myself to be able to wander down this path instead of taking another. I think that there's lots of ways to find a different sort of fulfillment, that's outside of go to school, get good grades, get a good job.
Would you mind, since we're kind of on that topic, what would you say are the things that are rewards for you for having followed that curiosity at this point, like as a business owner?
Being a business owner.
Which, what does that mean to you specifically?
Okay, that's an even better question, right? Of what is a business owner? For the last 6 years, I have had to figure out, how do I make payroll? How do I cater to my customer? How do I set boundaries so that I can have a life and my business can run? How do I keep my business partner and I on a solid communicative front? so that we know what each of us are supposed to be doing and who's in charge of what, right? I think a lot about what would be the next step to my business model. How do I evolve? How do I think? And then not only that, but then how do I run the business itself better? Can I manage the finances? Can I be a better leader? Can I be in my brick and mortar in a way that makes sense on a daily basis? So being a business owner is you tackling a lot of those questions, plus many, many more. I think we'd be here the rest of the day if we talked about all the small and not so small decisions that you have to make. So as a business owner, you are making decisions about what happens to you, and that includes your business every day. For me, it's really fun. It's like a puzzle. Mm-hmm. That all the pieces are slightly jaggedy and slightly different. So you have the ability to choose your own adventure. Mm-hmm. I think that for myself, business ownership made sense versus a different pathway. One, again, because I had the opportunity, right? I had a sort of a mentor, my business partner, the person who eventually became my business partner was sort of a mentor. He had had multiple businesses prior to, so he kind of already had this like entrepreneurship sort of mindset that I didn't have. I was a worker, right? I was a good worker. I mean, I found opportunities to make my work better without being told, and I didn't have to be, I was self-initiating and things like that. But I didn't know what that meant for making money that would go directly to me versus passing through an organization and getting 30% taking off the top and my hourly salary being way different than what the organization charges, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I had this mentor who was just so quick to the, just like, I don't even know how to do it, but just he snapped to it. He was really good at being able to figure out how to find the money in an opportunity. That's not my testimony. I've never done that before. However, being able to be paired with him and seeing that, oh, all the skills that I've learned in all of my backgrounds, being able to speak to people, being able to have this corporate ease that's so necessary sometimes as a business owner, is also applicable in building a business that really works and in your truth.
Yeah. Well, and a couple of the highlights that I picked up from what you just shared is in this world of entrepreneurship, there's a sense of novelty because things are changing all the time. And that's interesting and fun. And also you have that high level of autonomy and freedom to make those decisions. And I think, I don't know, I think we're all wired differently, of course, but I think that really, again, like makes the whole process, like you said, a really fun adventure. So I experienced that myself in my own business. So given that, I personally believe that at our core, you know, from birth, that we are all innately curious creatures. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to just kind of take a broader view for a second and ask you, what do you think happens in our lives that erodes that human quality, that kind of causes us to maybe not ask the questions that we once asked as children, and blocks us off from being able to move forward because we're not able to really go there?
Mm-hmm. You know, so I had I have a background in education, and I've done babies all the way through freshman in college. So I feel like I've watched children in lots of different spaces in their lives. And so my working hypothesis, and you know, working hypothesis as not a parent, but someone who's been around a lot of kids, my working hypothesis is that in the first around 7 years of life, your role as a parent, as a person watching this child, right? I've had to do it too, is that you need to make sure that they don't kill themselves. They stick, you know, keys in sockets, and they tumble head first into things, and they jump off of stuff, right? And you as the person who's supposed to be watching this little thing bounce off the walls, almost literally, you're pulling your hair out. However, that child is essentially fearless. They haven't been taught fear. Mm. Not yet. Mm-hmm. And so I think what happens is that we are taught fear. And I do believe that many children have certain things, right, that just kind of freak them out. For me, I was taught really quickly that snakes are bad, so I have a crazy phobia of snakes. However, it wouldn't have been such a thing if I hadn't been taught that. Right. Like there's a, and even though my mom probably didn't say like, Shanae, you need to be afraid of snakes. And I said, yes, ma'am. Cause that's ridiculous. but there had to have been a couple of inciting factors that if I had, that I jumped in front of a snake and then I also got scared because of something else. And I tied it to snakes and me are not friends. Right. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, and this is why I'm talking about children and snakes for this little bit of time, is I think that we start to associate like that leap of, I wonder, that would be cool if I tried. It wouldn't it be interesting when, especially when we're younger, and then we start equating it to the bad stuff. It wasn't actually bad. We tried it, but because we're saying, you know, like when we were kids, a lot of us probably grew up with, if you try and you fail, you failed. So that's the bad thing. So you can't try and then the fail, like, cause then you fail and then you're bad. And then it becomes this endless, endless, endless circular logic. That's terrible. Right. So yes. I think what happens is essentially we're groomed to be fearful of failure. Mm. And so therefore then if we stop thinking about what else, why might I be different? How could things be different? Is there something else? We don't want to fail. We don't want to be fearful of that.
Yes. Oh gosh. I think you hit the nail on the head. It's almost like a protective mechanism, mm-hmm. To keep us safe. And it's funny though, because I've told people lately, I don't even believe in failure anymore. I just, I don't think it's a helpful narrative for most people because it insinuates that, you know, I'm not good enough or I've missed the mark versus just simply looking at it as learning. Like that's all this is. And yes, the more painful experiences are going to teach us in a different way, or make us shy away from certain decisions. But that narrative of failure that I agree with you completely is tied to the fear that we're taught or we pick up from our culture is such a driving factor in preventing us from really stepping out. Now, one other thing that I want to add to that too, one of my working hypotheses is that I think that, you know, maybe this happens more in the education system or more in our own home environments, but that we are kind of taught to listen to authorities, right? Like, mm-hmm. And so that, and yes, there's a place for that in terms of like being guided in our journeys and in learning certain things and taking in knowledge, but also, I think at a certain point, we tend to look to other people for the answers versus like going back to that innately curious place within ourselves and living into those questions. So I think this is changing in our society, but I do see that as being like, you know, you go to school and the teacher's telling you everything versus this really curious open dialogue about, well, what do you think? And I think also kind of devaluing the opinions of children might, you know, prevent adults from really looking at kids as teachers. And so I think there's some of those things that come in the way too. And I just think, wow, if we could allow more space for mystery or questions to exist in these contexts, like would people feel more open to dig in a little deeper and critically thinking for themselves too. So anyways, I loved what you shared though about fear. I think that's probably the number one factor at play. So I guess on that, along that thread then, how would you like entertain the thought of becoming a more curious person? Like what in a practical sense, other than just asking questions, do you have any other thoughts around how someone could maybe transition away from that fearful posture and start leaning into curiosity a little more?
Yeah, you said something a little earlier that I think actually really would help. I don't think it's the thing. I don't really believe that there are the things. I think there's multiple things that, multiple habits that will stack upon themselves to create a more curious life. So one of them is to remove a couple of words from your vocabulary. The biggest one is I failed, I screwed up, like that kind of wording. Because we don't actually, I think that we as a society, and specifically an American society, don't actually know how to like take that with like a sort of a grain of salt. I failed is something really flat, but we subscribe and ascribe a whole bunch of emotions and feelings and, you know, just stuff. If we failed, it means that like basically I'm the most terrible human being on the planet because I didn't succeed. And then you haven't even really measured what failure versus success looks like other than what you believe it to be out of someone else's eyes. So all that to say is I would remove a few key phrases. I failed, I screwed up, I messed up. I don't think that you need to remove them out of your lexicon completely, but removing them at least especially as you try new things, as you experiment with new things, it's going to be important that you remove those. Then going back to one of my favorite phrases is, this is my working hypothesis. This is what I believe for right now, but I am completely okay with it changing, with it being different, with it being completely obliterated because I found a different hypothesis. So I believe that your life, your work is a working draft. And what a working draft means is that it gets changed. It's not in pen, it's in pencil. So what can we do with a pencil? And I know most of us have terrible handwriting and we haven't picked up a pencil in eons, but with a pencil, there's always an eraser. So the goal is keep what you're doing as a working draft. You don't have to do it the same way as everybody else. You don't need to do it that way if it doesn't feel that good that way. The third thing is probably keeping what I last said in mind. I don't have to do it that way. That doesn't feel good. I'm not doing it that way. So really going and keying right back into who you are. If you're not a person who likes to wake up early in the morning, don't shove a square peg into a round hole. Like, we don't need to do that. If everybody else wakes up at 5 a.m. to do work, that's cool. If that's not you, I'm a night owl. I will see you at 8:30, maybe 9, but 10 is better, right? Like, let's be nice to ourselves because we don't all have to be the exact same. We don't all have to do it the same as everybody else. So curiosity for me is an ability to choose your own adventure. Like, because your life is an adventure. And so if you remember those books, I was definitely a reader as a kid. Choose Your Own Adventure books were so amazing. And if you're not a book reader, then Netflix has a version of it. I think it starts with it's like Balderdash or Baderdash or something. It's a Bader Snatch. It's really good. And you watch something and then you have there comes a point where you come into two paths in a row and you're like, I'm going to try that. And sure, every once in a while, you might die, right? And then other times you might find a pot of gold. I don't know, but it's not about a destination. It's about the journey, right? It's about the adventure. So adding in, like, this is an adventure. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what could. We're exploring. It's a working draft, and this is keeping the fun in it.
I love that. I love that. And you know what came up for me as you were talking too is, as you're just referencing, we're all different. Choose your own adventure. You don't have to follow the same path as other people. That curiosity, I wonder, leads to almost diversity, right? Or it opens up the space for more diversity to take place because you're living outside of the box of other people, or you're staying true to yourself by asking those questions and then following what is your true north, right? And so that means that we're all going to look different. Everything's going to be so varied, and I think that's wonderful. I think it's beautiful. And one other thing I wanted to add to what you shared, loved what you said about rewriting this story that isn't etched in pen. But that, yeah, like there's all this kind of mindset work that I think we can do around examining those stories. But in addition to rewriting that and looking at, well, what am I telling myself, maybe about failure, or one thing a lot of people I know get stuck on is rejection. In addition to that, I would say too, if you're going to allow yourself to have more questions or challenge certain beliefs or worldviews that you have, to find a safe place to do that, where you can voice what you're wondering about or what you're questioning without fear of being judged. And I went through periods of my life where previously held beliefs no longer seemed to apply, and yet I was in my head. I was like, I had to find a place where I could externally process some of those new questions that were coming up for me. And it took a while for me to find those safe places. But once you find them, and then other people can hold space for that, it can really lead to a lot of new insight and awareness. And so I think that's really important to find that safety so that you can explore all of that and feel validation in it too. So yeah, thank you for sharing all your thoughts on that. One more final question before we tie up, Shanae, is, if somebody's listening to the podcast and they're like thinking, okay, I want to be a little more open and curious, but I got that fear. I'm afraid to ask those bigger questions. What would you advise them as like a next step or a first step that they could take to begin that process?
So curiosity is a mindset, and that's essentially what I pulled away from what you just said. And so if we go with that hypothesis, that working hypothesis, if curiosity is a mindset, then how do I train my mind to set my mind towards that mindset? Does that make sense?
How to position it.
How to position, yeah. So a couple activities. There's this one of my favorite it's a quote, and of course, because I'm talking, I don't remember who said it. The quote is to the effect of, "I am my ancestors' wildest dreams," right? And so if you take that and say, okay, if I'm my ancestors' wildest dreams, what would my next set of people, the folks who are further down my family tree, how would they become my wildest dream? And asking yourself like some of the bigger questions. What is a wildest dream? What does a wild dream look like? What's the most ridiculous thing I've ever thought of? And going back to some of those plain curiosities that you did as a child, we all did it. For some of us, it was a little less time than others, right? But we all did do it. I can say from personally, I never thought I'd own a business, that I'd work in as many industries as I have. And I'm even more surprised at how I got here, but I know that I'm my ancestors' wildest dreams in that I found some options that felt really good.
Mm.
And I followed myself. So what would follow my true north, my own true north, which is very different than perhaps yours, right? And so one, spending a little time to dream a little. I'm a huge fan of taking a look outside, especially at nighttime, and taking a look up at the stars. It's immense out there. So like, what would make your world both immense and small at the same time?
I love that. I love that. And I'm similar to you in that when I go outside and you just kind of take in the night sky or the day sky or just nature, it just opens you up to so much more, to kind of like an expansiveness that allows you to maybe even tap into that question of, well, what are my wildest dreams? I mean, those are big questions, but if you allow yourself to really sit with them, it can spark so many new insights about what's possible. So I love how you shared that. And I think that's a fantastic next step for all of us, really. So, okay, well, let's go ahead. I would love to ask you the last two questions I ask all my guests, Shanae, which is number one, what are you up to these days that has you excited?
I'm always excited because, yeah. So I have two businesses. I have an equipment rental company that I mentioned with a business partner, and that's based a brick and mortar that you heard my phone ringing. And then the other is my consultancy. So the things that I'm excited about here in 2023 has been all about, you know, meeting new people, understanding like, what am I talking about? Does that land? Does that not land? So my biggest excitement is I too am launching a podcast here in January 2024. And actually your beloved host Carrie is actually on it as well. So I'm really, really excited about doing that work. And just, you know, another big thing that I'm just really excited about is being excited about my businesses and specifically my equipment business being exactly where I want it to be. And I'm not working hard to expand it, to grow it, to scale it, to whatever. It's making the money that I want. I'm spending the time that I want. It's executing in the way that feels good. So like coming to that realization that it can just be is all right with me. So those are two things, my own podcast and my businesses, especially my equipment business, just being. It's great how it is.
Yes, that is a great place to be in. When things are just working and you've got this amazing project about to take off in January, I'm so excited. That was so much fun to be on your show. So tell us then, given that, how can people get in touch with you or find your podcast once it becomes live or any of your content? Where can they find you, Shanae?
Yeah, so I hang out the most on LinkedIn. And my name is a little funny spelling, but it's Chanaye Jackson. There's only two of us, so I'm sure you'll be able to find me. Otherwise, you can find me on my website, swantowncreative.com. And that's swan like the bird and town like the city and creative, because you have to be creative to figure out what you want to do next.
That's right. Awesome. Awesome. So I will go ahead then and link both of those in the show notes so people can search you out, find you, learn more about you and how you help people. And Shanae, I just think this has been such a fun, interesting conversation with you today. And I feel like I've gleaned so much even from your insights and feel this inspiration to keep tapping into my own curiosity so that I can keep growing and learning, but also feel that adventure of being able to approach life in this way. So I really thank you for sharing your time and your thoughts with us. And I'm just glad to have you in this today.
I appreciate it, Carrie. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So everyone, I just invite you to check out Shanae on both her LinkedIn and her website. And I thank you for taking the time to tune in to this episode. And until the next one, I just invite you to think about what would it mean to ask more questions and to lean into your own sense of curiosity so that you can find more answers to the question you've been asking and live into your wildest adventure. Thank you for joining me and listening to Clearly Connected. And now, my one question for you. Are you ready to experience the transformative money magic on the other side of powerful questions and one-to-one coaching to help you break up with your relationship with money stress so you can feel a sense of security and create a lasting legacy? If so, let's talk. Book a free coaching consultation with the link in the podcast show notes to talk about what it would look like to work together and how I can help you save, invest, and make more money doing what you love. And if you enjoy this podcast, I'd be ever so grateful if you shared a review. As a thank you for your feedback, I'll be picking one listener who leaves a review every month to win a one-to-one free coaching session.